To travel down that road with you. Probably what I would say most of all is that what we get to do in communion is to be able to engage in God, with God, in His presence, where it once was not open for everybody. It's kind of where we're going. But let me start with this. I was in a restaurant some time ago, And I needed to use the washroom, and I walked to where the washrooms were, and on the door, there was a jellyfish and a starfish. That was it. And I had to determine whether I was a jellyfish or a starfish. Now, I have 50-50 chance that I'm going to get it right, correct? Now, do I look like a jellyfish or a starfish? Thank you. Thank you. What did I do? I waited. I didn't have to go that bad. Finally, somebody walked out, and I'm glad I waited. That's all I had to say. You know, if you ever walked through a door and realized that you weren't supposed to be there, that's what I was trying to avoid, walking through a door and realizing I wasn't supposed to be there. This happens to me, and it does happen to me quite often when I need to use the washroom. And I am in a public place, and I asked if there's a washroom available, and they said, oh yeah, it's just down the back, and just go through the door, and there it is. Inevitably, I get back there, and there's a sign that says employees only, and I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, well, if I'm not supposed to be there, it wouldn't say employees only, but I really have to go, so I walk through the door. And when I do, somebody meets me, and they look at me and like, you're not supposed to be here. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm not supposed to be here. And then I say, I'm looking for the washroom. Oh, yeah, it's just over there. It's like I'm supposed to know this. This is not the place for me, I realize. And sometimes we find ourselves in those places. And as we read this story here today, this portion of scripture and this part here, there's an element of this which teaches us or shows us that we're kind of in the same place. Here is God in the tabernacle, and these loaves are there, and they're placed there, and the priest can go into this place, but not everybody can enter into this holy place. And so as we look at this, we realize that there is something happening here, which I think brings us to where we can see Jesus and then the communion, and I'm hopefully to put it all together here. But his holy place, the holy place, the place where this bread was sat, you just didn't enter in casually. It did say employees only. The priest could only enter there, and that was it. You did not enter unless you were a priest. And this is talking about the bread being set in the presence of God. The bread of the presence is another way to look at it. So, as we heard, there are these 12 loaves that are made, and they are set before God, and they are to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. What is that saying to us? The first thing I think we can recognize is that God wants us to be where He is. He wants us to be where He is. But because of sin, we cannot be there. In this time, the Israelites just couldn't walk into this place. Only the priests could walk there. So there was a separation, and sin separated the people of Israel. But God wanted to show that, hey, I want you there. Now, we know that bread is pretty essential to this world. And so it represents life. And so it represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And it being in the holy place was where God's presence was. It wasn't the Holy of Holies, because the Holy of Holies, only the one priest could walk in there that one time a year. After all a bunch of rituals and ceremonies, they could walk into the Holy of Holies. They put a rope on him just in case something happened to him, and they had to pull him out. But it only happened once a year. But the holies, this holy place, the priest could enter in and out. So when it says here that they were to put this before the Lord, it says they were continually before the Lord. It was there continually before the Lord. Another way that you could look at that, if you translated this literally, it would be something like the bread of the face. Okay? The bread of the face. Or maybe a better way that we would say it is the bread before God's face. That's what this was all about. This bread was there before God's face. And it wasn't because he was hungry. Right? Other gods, you needed to appease him because he needed to be fed and you had to bring your food. That wasn't the purpose of this. The purpose of this bread being there was that it was to say, to show that God wanted Israel in his presence. We also hear in the last part is that the priests were the only ones who could eat this bread. Nobody else could eat this bread but the priests. It was for the priests to consume and no one else. So the bread represented God's invitation, but it was still limited. So there was a representation of Israel by these 12 loaves, and that there was a priest that were from the Levites, that were from the Israelites, went in and they ate this bread, but it was still limited. So that's where kind of the picture we get. Now, one thing I think is always great to look at is that in the Old Testament, and you're reading the Old Testament, it is always showing us something of who Christ is. It's taking us forward, and there's these hyperlinks that are there. And this is one of the hyperlinks that we're going to see, okay? So now we're going to go a little bit further on, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Samuel 21, because this bread gets brought up again in 1 Samuel 21. This is here David. David is, he's hungry. He's on the, he's fleeing from Saul. He's on the run from Saul. Now, if you read this story, and I'm going to say this because some of you might read this and you're going to a question mark here. I don't want you to get lost in reading it today because I have a few things I want you to hear, okay? But it seems like David lies a little bit here. Now you want to read it, right? Okay, so 1 Samuel 21, David comes to the priest and he is hungry. He's on the run, he's hungry, and he says, "Can you give me any food?" And the priest says, "I don't have any food." And it wasn't that he was trying to hold anything back, but all the food that the priest would eat with the food that was given to them through sacrifice, and by the law, only the priest could eat that food. So the priest was not holding anything back. He was following the law. But David insists. He says, "I'm hungry, and I'm on a special mission for the king, and I need some food." And so in 21, we actually see that the priest actually gives him food. He actually gives him food. He gives him this bread that is set aside that only a priest could eat. He actually gives them to him. An amazing thing is that the priest doesn't die, nor does David die or his men die from eating this. And we do see that if you touch the Ark of the Covenant, just touching the Ark of the Covenant, you would die. Things that are set aside for God. In this case, neither David nor his men nor the priest die for doing this. And there's something we begin to learn here is that mercy is greater than the ceremony. Mercy is greater than the ceremony. Now, all of this wouldn't really matter much, except there's another place in the Bible that this gets mentioned. Anybody know where that's at? I will tell you. It is found in Matthew 12. So now go to Matthew 12. And this is what I just think is so fascinating with the Bible. You have a ceremony here that you could kind of maybe try to figure out, what is this all about? What is this really saying? Then you get another story here in 1 Samuel. And now in Matthew 12, it comes up again. And it comes up with Jesus. So what's happening here in Matthew 12? Well, the disciples are walking along. It's a Sabbath day. They've been working, and they're walking along. They're hungry, and they go along, and they take some grain, simply, just grab some grain, and they pull the grain off of the plant, And they take it in their hands. If you've ever done this, anybody ever just taken grain like, yeah. And they go like this, and they get the chaff off of it, and then they start popping in their mouth, and they start eating it. Doesn't seem wrong to you. Doesn't seem wrong to me. But it's happening. It's happening right there. And there's these eyes that are watching Jesus and his disciples. They're watching for any mistake that he makes. And as they watch him, they see that this is happening. If you read the story, it's happening on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is that you're to do no work. Now, what constitutes work? And so the Pharisees, the religious people, the priests, they came up with additional rules to explain what work was. And so work was that taking it off of the plant was work. So they're breaking the Sabbath. Taking it in their hands and rubbing it like this is work. They're breaking the Sabbath. And so this is the rules, because if you could take some off, then you could take more off. If you could break off the chaff off of some of the wheat, you could break off the chaff off of more wheat. So it was just an all or nothing. You could not do this. You're breaking the Sabbath. This is a scenario that's happening. They're hungry and they're feeding themselves. And so Jesus now comes and he says to them, remember David. He comes back to 1 Samuel 21. And he brings 1 Samuel into the picture. And there's a reason for that. And so he says here, haven't you read about what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priest. Ho! Oh. So he now brings this story in. Because there's a principle in this that is greater than the rule. And there's something in here that he wants us to see about who he is. And I think it's probably within the statement that he makes in Matthew 12:6 that brings it all together. Look there. It says, something greater than the temple is here. This is a remarkable statement. This takes all of what is in the Old Testament and it brings it forward. And so Jesus is coming back this way to take this forward, to bring us to a place to say, I want you to understand something that is very important. I want you to understand that everything you have hoped for here, everything you have longed for here, everything in which God has said, I want you to be in my presence, is fulfilled right here in me. What is he saying? He's saying, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. He says, the bread, the temple, the priesthood, the Sabbath, I am that. It's all pointing to me. I own it all. I own it. I own the Sabbath. I am the rest. I own the priesthood. You enter into fellowship with God through me. I am the temple. Remember what John says? He came to dwell among us. So I think it's very fascinating that we sing about the house of the Lord today, that we come into this building, but where does God reside? In us. In us. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is the bread of life. Didn't he say, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, very startling words that he is saying. He's saying, unless you buy in everything with me, that I am it, you miss out. So this bread that is before God, the face of God, that is to be consumed, Jesus is now that bread of life that's giving us life. The table is open for everybody. What once was closed only for the priest to consume, it is now open for everyone. No longer do a few enter into his presence. Now all belong to draw near to Christ. That's why Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The bread is Jesus himself. And here's the thing that I think is so important. Communion. Communion is what you do as a family. We do this as a family. It's why I invite people, even if you're online, that you do communion with us. That you have your bread and you have some juice and you do it with us. This is something you do as a family. Can you do it alone? Yeah, you can do it alone. And there are sometimes circumstances which call us to do it alone. But it was instituted as a family, and we are to continue to do it as a family. It's what we do as a family. And we don't have to look on the outside. We are now brought in. What only the priests could taste, now every believer is invited to take. So the bread. You're gonna hold this bread in a moment in your hand. And as you do, it's going to represent that you're part of the family of God. You're going to eat it together as a family. It says you are welcome. Ordinary people, teachers, mechanics, students, parents, retirees, children of God. You are welcome to take this bread and to take this cup. So once what was closed has now been made open through Jesus. You don't come today because you have earned it. You've come today because Jesus welcomes you to come. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. And today we don't simply remember Jesus, we receive his welcome, his purchase. And so come and receive, not as somebody who is standing on the outside, but someone through what Christ has done has brought us into the presence of the Father. And that's how you take communion today. You and I are in his presence. And we're welcome to be part of that presence. So I want to invite those who have agreed to help serve communion this morning to come up. You can come up now. And as they do, I want to say this. So one of the questions I get asked is, well, who can take communion? Who can take communion? And the answer is this. You can take communion if you proclaim that Jesus is God's Son. You take communion today if you proclaim that Jesus is Lord. We partake in communion today because we say that he died for our sins, and he rose again. This is a proclamation of our belief of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. It means that you can take communion, though, even if you are not perfect, because no one in this room is perfect, nor can we be. But we come truly as we are, forgiven and freed. But it's also a part of, if I cannot proclaim that Jesus is Lord, if I cannot proclaim that he died for my sins, that he rose again, that he is my Savior, then participating in his table would be a lie. And so it would be best that you didn't. See, it's an invitation to come. And we want it to be that. And so in our church here, I also say that there are times that I know in my heart, I believe fully of who God is. I believe he died, he rose from my sin, he rose from the grave, he died for my sins, that I am saved through him. He is my King and my Lord, and I have not taken communion. Why? Because I felt that the Holy Spirit said, not today. Not today. And I've waited and I've listened. What I desire most about what we do as a church is that what we do as a church, we do because you are welcome here, however you are and wherever you are. And that when you enter this place, there is no shame for who you are or where you are in this world, in this life that you're living. And so there is no shame to come. There is no shame not to come. The thing we want to do is follow the leading of the Lord. So I want to invite and I want to welcome and I want to give an invitation. Please come. Please come. If you can proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Not perfect, but saved. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that as we come today, we come proclaiming that you are Lord. That we recognize that as we take this bread and we drink this cup, that what we receive is we are proclaiming that you are the bread of life. And that, God, what we want is just to celebrate the work you've done. So thank you for what you have done and the doors you have opened. And that we are before you in your presence right now through Jesus Christ. In his mighty name, I pray.